You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Take off your jacket, because it's time to get deep under the covers with a loose read.
Morning, Jenna, how are you?
Morena, I'm fantastic.
We are talking about a very exciting book that's been on the tip of everybody's tongue. What is it?
Yeah, so this is probably the most anticipated release since Harry Potter, maybe, which is Margaret Atwood's The Testaments. So this is the long-awaited, I don't even think people were expecting it, sequel to The Handmaid's Tale. So The Handmaid's Tale was written in 1984 and published in 1985.
Wow.
And Margaret Atwood wrote that when she was in Berlin. Interesting place to write it in. And was in the year of George Orwell's 1984 and came up with the concept of The Handmaid's Tale. I think most people would probably know what The Handmaid's Tale is about, but I guess really quickly, it is a, and they probably would have most likely read it at high school, as Rachel and I did. Handmaid's Tale follows one character called Offred, who is a handmaid in this regime called, a new kind of state called Gilead, which is set in America, but America's all broken up. It's a religious state. It's the Handmaid's Tale is really insular, it's intense, and it's brutal as this woman from, who's lived a life just like, you know, we all have, but she's had a child. She's had her child removed from her, and she's expected to produce a child for the leaders of the state. So the testaments, the plot was such on massive lockdown, so no one knew what it was about.
So is it on shelves now? Can people go and get it?
Yes,
or is it, so it is accessible.
It's accessible. So it came out last Tuesday to quite big fanfare. What actually happened was, in bookstore goss, was on, on the Thursday before the release. So what happens is bookstores sell this, sign a really intense form called an embargo, and you're not allowed to open these boxes until this time. But a really massive global internet company released 800 copies on the Tuesday. And that company has apologized and said that it was a mistake, but who knows if it was, I'm not sure. But
Are you allowed to name the company, or?
Oh, well, you know, it's just,
you can Google it. I think it was Amazon.
Yeah, and so I don't like that. They're like Voldemort to me.
Can't mention the name.
And so it was actually quite disappointing, because once that embargo was broken, it meant all of the media could and reviews could come out.
So that's a shame.
They kind of came out about 5 days
before.
For
everybody,
It was like kind of like just a little bit of a pre-ejaculation kind of like situation, you know. Anyway, so that doesn't matter. The book's out now, and we've all got to, you know, whoever's wanted to read it can read it now. So what I'm going to tell you without too many spoilers is we have three characters in this book rather than that insular handmaid's storyline.
Right.
And they're all characters you've met before or heard of before
in the first book.
So the main character that people would really probably feel kind of mixed feelings towards is Aunt Lydia, who's like one of the leaders of Gilead, and she is a person that trains the handmaids, and she's quite a brutal figure but kind of caring as well. It's such a mixed feeling towards her. She's kind of motherly, but then like she'd like cut your eye out, you kind of,
oh my god. Classic.
So it's like amazing to hear from her, because in The Handmaid's Tale you don't hear from her, you hear Offred's stories about her.
Right.
But she's a really huge figure in the television show, and I think I knew that she was coming because I'd heard that Anne Dowd, who plays the character in the TV show, was doing the audiobook, so that was like quite a
bit of a giveaway.
So she's an amazing character in this book. You hear her backstory and what she did to do what she's doing here, and perhaps maybe her motivations for doing what she's doing.
Oh, wow.
And then we have these two other characters who are Witness 369A and Witness 369B. They're both young women. One has grown up in Gilead, is like a pure Gilead character, because this is set 15 years after The Handmaid's Tale. So, you know, everyone in The Handmaid's Tale has been tainted by the the real world,
right,
where the children being born into Gilead are pure.
Okay, so they're the first ones who haven't experienced pre-Gilead life.
Got you. Or maybe perhaps can't remember it because they were young when they got indoctrinated. So, you know, they can't read or and they're just like preparing to be a wife. And then our other witness is based in Canada, and she doesn't realise that she has a connection to Gilead. Yeah.
Sounds interesting.
I think that's what I can say. Oh, one thing that I really love, and I don't think it's a spoiler, is that, because, you know, The Handmaid's Tale is so visual. Well, and the Testament. So you have the handmaids are in red, the wives are in green, the Marthas are in grey, the aunts are in brown. And we've got these new set of characters, and they're called the Pearl Girls. And they wear silver, and they are missionaries. So they are sent out of Gilead to lure people into Gilead. So they're a great new visual character. So what would I say about this book? So it's been short. We talked about it earlier, wondering whether it would be shortlisted for the Booker, and it was. I found it quite blockbustery.
Okay.
And it's you know, The Handmaid's Tale, the book, is so shocking because you've never heard of this before. You're like, what the fuck? How can people do this to other people? Even though Margaret Atwood has never put anything in the book that hasn't happened to someone in real life.
It's amazing.
Really? Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that.
And so so the shock's gone because you already know what's up. But it's so compelling because you've got these three characters, everything ends on a cliffhanger and you want to get to
them
again.
But
you've got to read through the other two characters who also have cliffhangers.
So does it split it into chapters per character?
So
the stories aren't intertwined.
Not at the beginning. And you know that they're kind of witness statements. You know, you have two witness statements. And Lydia is writing her story. So she brings you as a reader into it because she is speaking to you, this person that may have picked
Sounds
up this transcript.
Pretty exciting. I'm really curious. When did she start writing this?
That's what I was thinking too.
I don't know.
Has she done much press about it yet? Interviews?
Yeah. She's come out and had a few interviews. There was a really massive launch for it in the UK in Waterstones, and she was there in the five level Waterstones department store. They had stuff happening on different
That's
floors.
Pretty cool.
And then she opened it at midnight. And it was like the same night that Boris Johnson did something crazy last week for Brexit, like was trying to
Which
like,
one?
Stop. Yeah,
Which
yeah.
thing?
So it's she's pretty cool about it. She brings, I think you don't have to have seen the TV show to enjoy this. And I think The Handmaid's Tale, the book, is so vivid that you would just be taken straight back into
that
world.
Do you think that if you haven't read The Handmaid's Tale, the book, or seen the TV show, you could jump into this? Or do you think you'd need to?
You should read The Handmaid's Tale first, even just for yourself.
Do it for your learning.
And you'll love it. You'll just read it so quickly. And the language is so much simpler. But she has really great visual metaphors. I love this bit. She talked about someone's eyelids being like elephant knees. And someone putting a hand on a breast like a lobster claw. And, you know, it's just so visual.
Yeah,
it
totally.
Must have been so much pressure for her to write this.
To get
it in a way that there's so much, like you said, it's been one of the most hyped up releases. Since.
I reckon if anybody can handle that kind of pressure, though, it's Margaret Atwood. I would not want to have to ever be on the wrong side of Margaret Atwood. She's terrifying in the best way.
Yeah, what she said about the things that she's talked about is that how people were really trying to get the manuscript. Like people were trying to like hack into her emails.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that shows what the value of this story. And so, yeah, I feel like it was compelling, a bit predictable, but satisfying.
That's
like
good.
Like you needed
That's
this.
Good.
Well, I didn't like, I wasn't lying awake at night saying,
I wonder what happens next.
But now that it's here, it's definitely not a letdown. I don't know if it should win the Booker Prize. And also, to be honest, as a bookseller, we don't want the big ones to win because they're going to sell anyway. And
yeah, you
and
want to give something else
something
a
new that yeah. no one's ever like. They're like, what? Okay, and they just buy it
yeah.
along with the testaments. But I think it was just a really cool read. Yeah,
fantastic.
It was great. It's great to get back into that world again. But yeah.
So this is the brand new Margaret Atwood, The Testaments. It's on the shelf at Time Out.
Yeah, so it's only in hardback at the moment. It's $48. They're really just trying to get all the money they can in
but
the beginning.
If you've got a B card, you get a discount, which I feel like where else would you get The Testaments on sale, essentially?
$45-ish, yeah. And yeah, they're flying out the door. So I would recommend reading it so you can talk to people about it.
Fantastic. I feel like that's going to be a hot topic in people's book clubs. We're going to play Kate Bush now. You've recommended this. Why have we got this song?
Oh, it was just, there's this really great scene in the third season of The Handmaid's Tale where it showed the behind the scenes Martha's handmaids. It was such a key vibe. It was such a key scene in the TV series, and I love the song. And I think, Kate Bush kind of reminds me of Margaret Atwood. This
yeah,
kind
she's
of
got
ethereal
that sort of,
fairy.
She isn't she?
Godmother.
She's the sort of musician that all writers cite as their favourite musician.
Yeah,
she's
definitely.
Such a poet. Yeah.
yeah.
All right, Kate Bush with Cloud Busting. Thank you, Jenna.
Thank you.
I still dream of crying, you're making rain, and you're just in reach. When you in sleep escape me, you're like my yo-yo, that glowed in the dark. What made it special, made it dangerous, so I bury it.
Just say it. was Loose Reads.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.